chapter 24. Luke 24. When you find Luke chapter 24, you can stand with me, please. I love the Word of God. I love coming to this part of the service to hear the Word of God and to see what God's got to say to us. I believe God's laid some things upon our hearts tonight that we want to deliver to you. So when you find Luke chapter 24, you can turn with me to to verse 49. And the Bible says these words, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen." And I'm going to use tonight for a subject, "He didn't take everything with him." He didn't take everything with him. Ain't you thankful tonight that when he left, he didn't take everything with him? So would you bow your heads with me, please? Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. I pray tonight, God, that you would anoint the vessel as we would endeavor to preach the Word of God. Guide my words. Help me to say only that you would have me to say, nothing more, nothing less. May nothing I say hinder this service and hinder the move of your Spirit, no way, form, or fashion. Lord, let me be led of the Spirit. Anoint their ears to hear what it is the Holy Ghost would say tonight. And we'll be sure to give you all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shout a good hearty amen.
Amen.
You may be seated tonight. He didn't take everything with him. As we look tonight into the Word of God, we notice that Jesus is about to ascend into heaven. And he led the disciples as far as Bethany. And as he was there, he was blessing them. As he was blessing them, the Bible said he was carried away into heaven. After he was taken from them, the Bible said they returned to Jerusalem with great joy and was found in the temple praising God. Now, when I read those words, great joy, the thought came to me, great joy. Just a few hours earlier, the Bible said, early in the chapter 24 of the book of Luke, the Bible said that two of those disciples was on their way to a city of Emmaus. And the Bible said they were there talking to one another. They were there communing to one another, talking about Jesus. And the Bible said as they communed together, Jesus drew near unto them. And let me stop and make a point here. The Bible said two of them were communing together about him. And as they were talking about him, he drew near unto them. Oh, church, let me tell you, the two of them, the Bible said, were two or three are gathered together in his name, there he'll be in the midst. And the Bible said they were two of them, and they were talking about him. And as they talked about him, the Bible said Jesus drew near. If you want to get God's attention, why don't you begin to talk about him a little bit? Why don't you begin to commune about him a little while? And all of a sudden, when you begin to talk about God, his ears begin to perk up, and he's saying, there they are. They're talking about me. They're not talking about they're not talking about the problem. They're talking about me, and I'm going to draw near unto them.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
They began to talk about him, and he drew near.
Yes.
But the Bible said they didn't recognize who he was. And the Bible said Jesus said unto them, he said, "Boys, why are you so sad?"
Yeah.
They were sad, Alan. Their heart was broken. And the disciples answered the stranger and said, "Sir, do you not know what just transpired here in the city? They just took and crucified Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, and they laid him in a tomb. Have you not heard? Have you not heard? We trusted that this was going to be the Savior of Israel." Now you've got to understand, folks, these are the same disciples that he poured into for 3.5 years. years, he gave them and poured into them the kingdom of God. They hung on his every word, everything they said, everything that he's taught them. They lived on it. They gave all up for this one man. They gave it all up. Jesus said, come and follow me. They dropped their nets. They dropped their tax collecting and began to follow him. They gave everything they knew up for this one man. And now this one man that they hoped in and trusted in, now he's taken from them. And they saw him die on the tree. They saw him taken off the tree and laid in a tomb and a seal over the tomb.
Yes.
Their hope. Everything they believed in for 3.5 years, everything they gave their life up for, is now in the tomb.
Yeah.
Don't that just tell us that sometimes in our life, God begins to deal with our hearts and speak to our spirits, and we have high hopes of things getting better in our life, and all of a sudden that very thing is ripped from us.
That's right.
And now, they're so sad, they're sorrowful. We trusted, they said, that this was going to be the Redeemer of Israel.
Yes, praise God.
Amen.
Everything he ever taught them seems now to be out the door.
Yeah.
He told them plainly that the Son of Man will be betrayed into the hands of sinners, but I will rise again.
Amen.
Destroy this temple, but in 3 days I'll come alive again. He told them that, but it seemed like everything that he said was now vanished away. The words that he spoke was gone with him.
Thank you, Lord.
And all of a sudden, Jesus stopped them and they're complaining and they're griping and said, boys, he said, why are you so slow to believe all that you've heard? Because earlier in that passage, the Bible said the women went to the tomb and saw a couple of angels and they said, why are you looking for the dead among the living? He's not here. And and those two women ran back and told the disciples and they couldn't believe what they heard. They said, well, some of our company told us that he wasn't there. We don't know what happened to him. And Jesus said, why are you so slow to believe? Oh, church, let me ask you that. Why are we so slow to believe all that God has said and God has spoken? Has he not said and has he not, shall he not do all that he's promised that he will do? He said, I'll bless you, I'll prosper you, I'll lead you and guide you. Glory to God. Shall he not do all that he said he was going to do? Why are you so slow to believe all that was said? And the Bible said he began to expound to them the scripture. He began to open up from Genesis all the way to the book of Malachi, all things concerning himself. Oh, Hanabo Shatamahaya. And that word, let me just stop and preach to you for a minute. He said he began to expound to them the scripture. Now that word expound means to translate. Well, he didn't come up with a new translation. He began to translate the very one that they had into their heart. Church, we don't need new translation. We just need the Holy Ghost to open the one that we got up and speak it into our hearts.
Yes, we do.
And he began to talk to them. Now that was from where they were at in Jerusalem to Emmaus was an 8-mile journey. For 8 miles, he preached nothing but Christ to them.
Yeah.
And they started this journey in great sorrow. But on their way there, God began to talk to them. All of a sudden, that sorrow, little by little, came and chipped away. Hallelujah to the Lamb. And the Bible said when they got to the city of Emmaus, he would have went further. But they constrained him and said, would you stay and let us feed you a little bread? And the Bible said, he said, okay, I will. Let me stop and tell you this. He would have went further, but they constrained him. Oh, church, let me tell you, there's a power that can constrain the presence of God. I'm going to tell you tonight, you can't get God to come into your house if you're constraining him and do something you've never done before and pray and seek the face of God. That can handcuff the presence of God.
Amen.
Praise God.
He would have went further, but they constrained him. Amen. They handcuffed him more or less.
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you, there's nothing better to be handcuffed to.
That's right. Yeah. Thank you.
And the Bible said that he went in there, and the Bible said this stranger, which we knew was Jesus, took the bread, lifted it up, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to him. Yeah. Now, this is the same way he done it when he fed the 4,000 and the 5,000, and the same way he done it during Passover in that upper room. He blessed it, he broke it, and gave it to him the same way. And when he did that, their eyes were open, and he vanished out of their sight. And they, I'm sure there was a round of silence just for a moment. They couldn't believe what they just saw. Oh, could it really be him? Could that really be, or is it just my mind? And then they begin to say, I don't know if it's my mind or not, but this one thing I do know, when he told us the word of God, our hearts begin to burn within us. Oh, I want to tell you, the remedy to a burning heart is the word of Almighty God. When they begin to open the word to us, their hearts begin to burn.
Hallelujah.
Her hearts begin to burn.
Jesus.
When he opened unto them the scripture. You got a cold heart? Get in the scripture.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. The remedy to a cold heart is the word of God. And buddy, the Bible said that he appeared to them, to the 12. And as he appeared to them, he was beginning to be, he was fixed to be translated from this world to the next world. And the Bible said he led them as far as Bethany. And he'd be lifted up his hands to bless them. Now you've got to understand, he lifted up his hands. That was the same way that after the high priest went in there and offered the sacrifice and the blood on that altar, on that Ark of the Covenant, and the sins were rolled back, he would come out and lift his hands up and bless the people. This was a high priestly blessing. And church, let me tell you, he has blessed you.
Yeah. Yes, he has.
He lifted up his hands. He was blessed. As he was blessing them, hallelujah, the Bible said he was taken away.
Praise the Lord.
It was as a cloud came down, picked him up, and they watched him vanish out of their sight.
Amen.
And the Bible said they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Now, I got news for you. In the beginning of this chapter, they left Jerusalem with great sorrow. But now they're returning in Jerusalem in great joy. Well, where did that joy come from? It's that he was alive. He's not dead. He's alive. And that gave them great joy. And church, I want to tell you tonight, there's great joy knowing that we serve a living God who's on the right hand of the Father. For you and I tell glory to God, there's power knowing that he's alive.
Yes, praise the Lord.
He's alive, Brother Lowell.
Yeah,
I'm not talking about a God that's dead.
Right.
I'm talking about the God that's alive. Yeah. The God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The God of Peter, Paul, James, and John. The God that healed the widow's son outside the day. The God that healed Lazarus from a dead tomb and called his name out. I'm talking about a God that saved Nathan Middleton when he was on his way to hell and wrote my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm talking about a God that can save your soul and give you joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
He's alive. I said he's alive.
Yes.
He's alive. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
And as he left,
praise the Lord.
As he left this world and was translated into the next world, he told the disciples, boys, he says, I'm leaving, but I'm not taking everything with me. I'm going to leave you some things that's going to help you along your journey. In church, I just want to say thank God that when he left, he didn't take everything with him.
No.
Number one. If you're taking notes, you're going to write this down. Number one, when Jesus left, he didn't take his power with him. Church, the power of God is very real and is very needful in the hour in which we live. Some people have relegated the power of God to a has-been thing. But I've got news for you. If he's still God, he's still a God of power. Hallelujah. I Joshua that made the sundial go back 10 degrees for King Hezekiah, who touched the coffin in the city of Nain, and the dead boy jumped out and began to shout. I'm talking about the God that raised Lazarus from a dead tomb, the God of power. He's still the God of power.
Amen. Praise God.
He said, boys, I'm leaving, but I'm leaving you my power.
Praise God.
Yes. Luke 10:19 says, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Luke 24:49, and behold, I send thee a promise from my Father, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Mark 16:17-18 says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and they shall drink a deadly thing, and it shall not harm them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Oh, church, listen to me. I'm talking about the one thing the church needs more than anything is the power of God being manifested in their midst this hour. We need the power of God to roll back the tides of hell, to set the demons of darkness at bay. Power, my God, we've got carpet on the floor, padding on the pews. Hey, remember, we ain't got no power. Get no glory to God. We need power more than we need the gold of this world. We need the power of God being manifested and displayed among His people. He's still the God of power, and He's given us the power. When He left here, He left us the power.
Amen.
You see, He left the church with some things to do. Because He's gone, His mission isn't over. There's still saving to be saved. There's still healing to be healed. There's still baptizing in the Holy Ghost to be baptized in. There's still things that the church is called to do. And church, how in the world are we going to do it if we ain't got any power? But I got news for you. Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. And now, Peter, I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind, I bind. What you loose, I loose. I'm talking about the keys of the church has been given to you and I. The church of the living God. There's not a devil in hell that can come back against the power of God. There's not a demon alive that can come against the power of God. Oh, hear me tonight, church. The power of God is on your side, and it's still real and flowing tonight. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the
Lord. I know what I'm talking about.
Yes, amen. It's true. Jesus.
Praise Bible says God. In John 14:12, Jesus said, I'm going to my Father. He said, let me read it to you out of 14:12. Jesus said these words, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall ye do also. And greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto my Father.
Amen.
Church, he said it was expedient that I go away. He said, if I don't go, the Holy Ghost won't come. Church, the power of God is the Holy Ghost. And church, the Holy Ghost, He's not gone. He's still here. He's still alive. He's not dead, but He's still moving. He's still active. He's still God's Holy Ghost, and He's still the Ghost of power. Hallelujah to the Lamb. And He's activated and wanting to move in our midst tonight.
Yes.
The works that I do shall ye do also, and greater works than these shall ye do.
Amen.
Greater works? What are you talking about? Listen to me. It's not greater in quality, but greater in quantity.
Okay.
What do you mean? Let me break it down a little deeper. Let me break it down a little bit more than that. It's not greater works that He did. It's that we're going to be able to do more of them, because there's more of us than there were of Him.
That's right.
When He was on this planet, He was limited. He couldn't be in Samaria and Jerusalem at the same time. How do you know that? Because Jesus, amen, commissioned 70 disciples, sent them out to the cities. If He didn't need the disciples, He would have done that. He'd done it Himself. Folks, do you understand? Now that He left, He sent the Holy Ghost. Now, hallelujah to the Lamb, He can be in Harrison. Austin, he can be in Asia, he can be in Russellville pumping gas all at the same time. How do you know? Because he lives within us, yeah. The church of the living God. It's a real thing, it's a real God, it's a real ghost, yeah. And he lives among us tonight.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, yeah. To the Lamb.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Bible said in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John was on their way to the temple at the hour of prayer. And there was a man laying down there at the gate called Beautiful. He'd been lame from his mother's womb. He was a cripple, been that way all of his life. He never walked, not one day in his life. Which he's a great picture of, he's a great type of humanity. Amen. Ain't able to walk in the righteousness of God. We're born from our mother's womb, unable to walk righteous, unable to walk pure, unable to live holy.
Thank you.
Just like this man, unable to walk. And sitting at a gate called Beautiful. And of all the places he could be sitting, why at a beautiful gate? Because that gate was nothing but, amen, that gate wasn't beautiful to him. Nothing was beautiful to him. And the Bible said, here come Peter and John at the hour of prayer, going to the temple. Peter and John looked at this man. Peter looked over John and said, John, you remember what Jesus told us and over there in John, hey man, the book that you wrote, 14:12? He said, greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. Well, he went to his Father, and just a few chapters ago, chapter 2, we were baptized in the Holy Ghost the day before. Amen. And the power of God came on us. 3,000 were saved. Maybe this is the power of God. He said, let's just see if this is going to work.
Praise God.
And the Bible said, they walked up there to that boy. And the Bible said, Peter said, look on us.
Yeah.
This man was there begging alms. Now I've heard these people on television, and I won't name their names, said that this man, it wasn't that Peter and John didn't have no silver and gold, is that this man was in part of the temple where they wasn't allowed to bring money. Well, my question is, if that was true, that he's the dumbest beggar alive, why would you want to be there in a part of the temple where nobody had no money?
That's right.
Well, I can tell you what, Peter and John probably didn't have no gold.
No.
Their pockets were as empty as mine. And the Bible said the boys said, look on us. And the Bible said this crippled man looked upon them expecting to receive something from them. And the Bible said he was holding up that cup. Oh, he was expecting to receive a quarter or $5 bill. But the big fisherman said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Take up your lame legs and walk, boy. Get up off that bed and walk. And the Bible said he jumped to his feet and he ran into that temple. He began to praise God, leaping for joy. Oh, glory to God. All of a sudden, that Baptist temple came a Pentecostal temple.
The Lord.
It was as silent, it was as quiet in that, amen, in that temple as a morgue was. But when that boy got healed, he turned it all of a sudden into a Pentecostal temple. He came in there leaping joy, praising God.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, he got a little bit beside himself. Well, you bet he did. I had never seen somebody that Jesus didn't touch and then get beside himself. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
He went in there leaping. He never walked. I'm talking about power running through them legs. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Power shot through them legs.
Thank you, Lord.
Peter looked over at John's mic. God, this thing works.
Praise God.
It works.
Thank you, Lord.
Church, it still works.
Amen.
Yes, I said it still works.
Amen.
Yes,
it does.
Amen. Praise God.
Just a few months back.
Praise the Lord.
Up in Donovan, Missouri. Was up there at a youth camp. Had just got done preaching a message. Gave an altar call. We praying there, man. God moving on folk. It was so thick in there you could cut it with a knife. And about 35 minutes, 40 minutes into that prayer service, there was three girls came up, two of them leading this one by the arm, one by one arm, one by the other arm.
that are up there. Said she needs prayer. So we asked her, said, well, what do you need, honey, from the Lord? She said, I want to receive my sight. I'm blind. 14 years old, blind. Blind, couldn't see. I thank God for my eyes.
Amen.
Yes. I thank God for my eyes, but she couldn't see, Angela. Blind. So we took this all. And we didn't just dab it on this little dab-a-doo-ya, we smeared it on our hands. Prayed for her. About 10 minutes into prayer, took our hands off, said, Do you see? She said, no, sir, we don't. I don't. Well, back then, a lot of folks would have said, well, come back tomorrow night, we'll try it again. But we took it again, laid our hands on her again. 3 minutes into that prayer out, and all of a sudden, crocodile tears began to flow down her 14-year-old baby cheeks. And we took our hands off, said, what do you see? She said, I can see, I can see, I can see. Don't you dare try to tell me the power of God has been relegated to some power back in the old days. No, sir, that power of God is still real. It flowed into them eyes, and by hallelujah to the Lamb, she was led up there, Brother Jim, but she walked back by herself. She didn't need no hands to help her back. Why? Because she can see by the power of God going into them eyes. Oh, I want to tell you, I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the atheist says. I don't care what the religious crowd says. It's still real, and the power of God's available tonight.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. That was about, I guess it was probably 8 months ago when that happened. Because 3 months ago was up in a revival up in Clever, Missouri. Two people in that revival, deaf, hearing aids in their ears, couldn't hear with them. The power of God went into both of them men. When that revival was over, they wasn't hearing aids. God healed those ears.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Church is still real.
Yes, it is.
It's still real.
Yes, it is.
Problem with the church today's preachers sit behind the pulpits and telling us this ain't. And church, if you're in a church where the preacher ain't preaching the power, ain't preaching the blood and the cross, I tell you right now, you better get out of there and find you a church that believes in the power of God, that believes in the blood of Jesus Christ, that believes in the finished work of Calvary, because it's there and there alone that the Holy Ghost has latitude to work in the lives of His people.
Praise the Lord.
When Jesus left, number two, He left us a promise. He said, boys, I'm leaving. Go with me to the book of John. Go back to John 14. Look at verse number 1. 14 verse 1. When Jesus left here, number 2, He left us a promise. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I've gone to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I will come again. Church, when He left here, He left us a promise that He said, I am coming back for you. I will come again. I don't care what that world says. I still believe in the rapture of the church. You might say, preacher, why do you believe that old time preaching? Because it's not because Grandpa said it was so. Not because the old folks said it was that way. I believe the rapture because this book teaches I will come again. I will come again. I will come again. You better get it down in your spirit. You better wake up with it in your spirit. You ought to go to bed with it in your spirit that Jesus said, I shall come again.
Amen.
On time.
Every time I look in a newspaper, it cries to me, I'm coming again.
Yes.
Every time I turn on the television, it screams out, I'm coming again.
Yes.
Every time I open this lovely book that I hold in my hand, it tells me I'm coming again.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Shalom Boko Tamahaya. Church, I got news for you. He's coming again. He's coming again. He's coming again.
Yes. Praise God.
Knowing that He's coming again, knowing that it could happen any minute, it keeps me hungry.
Praise God.
It keeps me sick in God.
Thank
Amen.
You, Lord.
I don't want to be laying in my bed and be left there. It's going to be a sad day, church. We're going to meet here on a Friday night, and all of a sudden we're going to be called out of here, and some of us are going to be left sitting in the pew because we were not ready.
That's right.
We played games. We played church. Amen. We wasn't here. We were here because we were asked to come with a thousand other things. But I've got news for you. You better get that heart right. You better get that heart pure. You better get covered by the blood of the Lamb. Because any day now, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And the voice of the archangel and the trump of God is going to sound. And we that are alive, amen, to God, are going to be caught up with Him to be in the, amen, in the air. And there we shall ever be with the Lord. It's coming soon, morning, night, or noon. Many will meet their doom. The trump's going to sound, and all in the dead shall rise. And we're going to be Christ to be in the sky. We're going where no man ever dies. We're heavenward bound. Oh, church, I said we're heavenward bound. He's coming again. But, preacher, I just don't believe it. That's okay.
Yeah.
You will believe it.
Yes.
You will believe it.
Yes.
Because 15 minutes after the rapture, all hell's going to break loose on this planet. Cars are going to veer off the road. Mama's going to be gone. Daddy's going to be gone. Hell, don't shut up my mind. Grandpa's going to be gone. And you're going to be left behind saying, oh my God, they was right. Oh God, come back. Give me one more chance. But your doom's going to be sealed, sir. Your doom's going to be sealed, ma'am. You better get it right while the dispensation of grace is being extended to you. This is the hour. This is the night. This is the time. No time to wait. Now's the day. This is the hour. And now's your hour. You can believe it or you don't have to. But you'll see that this preacher was right. And my prayer is that every preacher from their pulpits will begin to preach this message. One of the main cardinal doctrinal truths of this Bible is the rapture of the church. You have, number one, Jesus saved by the blood. Number two, He was resurrected. Number three, He baptizes in the Holy Ghost. And number four, He's coming again.
Yeah.
That's the four doctrinal truths of this Bible. Folks, knowing that He's coming keeps me coming to church.
Amen.
Yes.
I love Him. That's my main purpose. But I know that He's coming. Yes. This is no time to get lazy, church,
right,
in your walk with God. The Bible says in Luke 24, listen to this. In Luke 24, Luke 21, verses 34 and 36 says, and take heed to yourself. Listen, anytime your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that that day catch you unawares. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of God. Here we have in Luke 21 verses 34 through 36, Jesus said, I'm giving you a warning. Number one, don't let your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness.
Amen.
Now that word surfeiting, if you look it up in your Greek, it means excessive or overindulged eating. Gluttony. You say, well, my boy, you're going to be left behind, preacher. No, sir. I'm going to die. Last week, it may have been all she wrote, but thank God I've got it under control now. Well, folks, I understand. I'm not saying you're going to hell because you're fat. That ain't what I'm saying at all. I'm saying excessive eating. Eating, living to eat instead of eating to live.
Mm-hmm. Come on,
I'm not even hungry, but I'm going to go eat me 10 or 15 pieces of pizza and 5 or 6 pieces of catfish. And
way too much.
I just play. Folks, I know. I was that man. And by the grace of God, I won't overindulge anymore, folks.
Yes.
You know why he's telling us this? It's not that he don't want us to go. Folks, he wants us to live a healthy life.
Yes. Right.
He wants us to live long on this earth.
That's right.
Because if everybody dies from eating too many pork chops and french fries, who's going to be left to preach the gospel?
That's right.
Well, I'm going to move on. I thought I made some enemies over that. I didn't write this book, folks.
Right.
It's in the book.
Yes, it is.
And you might be saying, preacher, you preach to me when you lose a few more pounds.
Okay. Thank you.
Number two, he said, don't be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness. Now, that word drunkenness means to be intoxicated.
That's right.
And it means, of course, it means drinking whiskey, wine, beer, liquor. But it also is telling us, don't become intoxicated on the spirit of this world.
That's right.
If you become intoxicated with the spirit of this world, you'll miss the rapture.
That's right.
You better keep your heart right. You better guard this heart. The Bible tells us to be sober and be vigilant. That means that word sober means be watchful and be alert. And church, this is no time to be lax. This is no time to fall asleep. You better keep your head up and your feet moving.
Yes.
Praise God.
Yes. Good preaching.
Yes. Amen. Thank you.
Don't sink too deep into the soil of this earth.
That's right.
Keep your head up, feet moving. You are a pilgrim people. We're not to be settled. We're to be always moving forward.
Praise God.
Abraham says, he said, I look for a city whose builder and maker is God. When Isaac found a well, he pitched a tent. He didn't build a house. A tent's movable. Folks, don't build houses. What I mean by that is this. Don't build your life on this world.
That's right.
Stay spiritually in a tent. So when God moves you, move with Him.
That's right. Amen.
A tent's portable. Praise God. Mm-hmm. He said, don't be intoxicated with the spirit. Folks, the church world has become intoxicated with the world.
That's right.
It's sad. I walked into some churches. I didn't know where the world began and the church stopped. I walked into some youth halls and they got these lights flashing. Hey, man, they got lights. I mean, flicking here and there. I thought I walked into a disco bar.
Yeah.
Folks, if we don't present a different kind of atmosphere than what they're in, then what hope are they to have? But as long as God gives me breath and keeps me healthy,
Amen.
This church will be a church that houses the presence of God. We're not going to turn it into a bar. We're not going to turn it into a world station. We're going to keep it a place where the power of God can be shown to a world. As long as God gives me breath and keeps me here, oh, I pray if God takes me on and the next person that comes and takes over and don't preach the cross and the blood, I pray judgment fall on this house. But as long as God keeps us here, we're going to preach the word. We're going to, oh, my Lord, I can stop and preach a while on that. Paul told Timothy, preach the word.
Yes. Amen.
Folks, sometimes it seems like I'm rough back here. But I'm not near as rough as Jesus was.
Amen.
Jesus called some of those folks you hypocrite. I ain't never had anybody call you a hypocrite yet. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm meddling now. But church, all jokes aside, keep your heart right. He said, I'm going, but I'm leaving your promise that I'm coming again.
Yeah.
Number three. Last point. Number three. When Jesus left, he left us his peace. Go in the same book of John. Look at verse 27, chapter 14. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. Hallelujah. So peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Church, Jesus said, I'm leaving, but I'm leaving you my peace. This is divine peace from God.
When you're facing a storm in your life, there's a divine peace from God that will flow into your heart that will trouble your storm. When Jesus left, he didn't take his peace. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 40. Jesus said to the boys, boys, get in the boat. Let's go over to the other side. And the Bible said they got in the ship. They began to row across to the other side. Yeah. And the Bible said Jesus went down to the hinder part of the ship and fell asleep. Uh-huh. He was tired. That tells us this, that Jesus was human on this planet. Yeah. He felt what we feel. Yeah. He knows what you're going through. He was asleep. And the Bible said there came a great storm. And man, that lightning was a flashing. Thunder was a rolling. The waves were coming in on the boat. And the disciples were fearful. They thought that this is it. We're going to die. We're not going to make it to the other side. We're not going to see morning. And so they ran down to the hinder part of the ship. And they went down there and woke him up. Lord, they woke him up. Jesus, don't you care? We're about to perish. And Jesus got up, shook his head at him, walked up to the top of that ship, to the bow of it, and said, he rebuked the wind and said, peace be still.
Yeah, he did.
And brother and sister, when he said, peace be still, the Bible said there was a great calm. Oh, it started off in a great storm, but it ended in a great calm. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I want to tell you tonight, church, you know what he said? He never spoke to the storm. He just spoke to peace and told it to be still. You know what a storm is? It's peace out of control. Hallelujah. You've got a storm in your life that just tells me your peace is out of control. But I've got good news tonight. Jesus is going to speak to your peace and say, peace be still.
Yes, amen.
And all of a sudden, that great storm, that peace that's in your life that's out of control will come to a screeching halt.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And Jesus said, oh ye of little faith.
Amen.
Oh ye of little, why did you doubt? Yeah. They forgot who was in the hinder part of the ship. Folks, as long as Jesus is in the boat, that boat ain't sinking.
That's right.
Well, glory to God. And as long as Jesus is in your life, you ain't going to sink. You ain't going to float. You ain't going to the bottom. You're going through. Hallelujah. You're going through.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
As long as he's in your life, he said, peace, I'll leave with you. This is a divine peace from God. You can't find this peace out there in the world. Uh-oh. That world offers you a false sense of peace. Jesus offers you a divine peace.
Amen.
Isaiah 53 verse 5. I'm closing. I've been preaching a long time tonight. But Isaiah 53 5 says, he said, I was wounded for your transgression, bruised for your iniquity, and the chastisement of your peace was upon me, and by my stripes you are healed.
Amen.
Four things there. And that one verse Jesus said, I'm going to do for you. He said, number one, I was wounded for your transgression. Now that wound, a wound is an outward sore. I get a scrape on my arm, I can see it because it's an outward wound. He said, I'm coming to die to heal your outward maladies. Those wounds. But he said, then he said, I was bruised for your iniquity. Now that bruising is an inward sore. I put a shirt over a bruise, you can't see it. That's an inward sore. See, those are the things that we don't talk about. Those are the things that we don't discuss with anybody. Those are the things, well, Daddy was lost his mind when he got to be about 45, and I'm afraid now I'm losing my keys and forgetting where I put my jacket, and I believe it's happening to me. But we don't talk about these things because we don't want nobody to know. Oh, there's some things going on in your home you can't share with anybody. That's an inward hurt. But Jesus said, I've come and I'm going to die on a tree to heal you outward maladies, but also to heal those things that nobody sees, and those things that you can't talk about to anybody. I have come to die on the cross just for that. Then he said, the chastisement of your peace was upon me. The devil will do his very best to chastise your peace, to wound your peace, to destroy your peace,
But he said, I've come to down a tree to give you my peace.
Thank you, Jesus.
My peace. Folks, some of you need the peace of God in your life.
Amen.
Praise God.
Some of your minds are just, you can't sleep at night. You have a hard time work functioning on your job because your mind's out of whack. Your peace is out of whack. Jesus said, I've come to give you my peace.
Yes.
My peace, not as the world gives, but give I unto you my peace.
Thank you, Lord.
Then he said, you by my stripes you are healed. Isaiah 53:5 says, by my stripes you are healed. Notice that. 1 Peter 2:24 says, with my stripes you were healed.
Amen.
Now, Isaiah said you are healed. Isaiah was pointing to the cross. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Peter said you were healed. He was pointing back to the cross. It came. It came. It came. Glory to God. Somebody shout.
Amen.
I said somebody shout.
Yeah.
He's not coming.
Yeah.
He's not went to the cross. He done bled. He done died. And he's come out of the grave.
Amen.
Amen.
He was wounded. He was bruised. Your peace was upon him. And you were healed. It's not coming anymore, folks. It's done came.
Mm-hmm.
We just got to enforce that victory that was won at Calvary.
Mm-hmm.
I'm closing. I've got to share this. There's two types of peace. Two types of peace found in your Bible. Number one is the peace with God. You'll find that in Romans 5 verse 1. Let's look at it. Well, I'll read it to you and write it down. Romans 5 verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What is the peace with God? That means when you come, when you're outside of God, you ain't been saved, you ain't been born again, you have not the peace with God. But when you come to the cross and you bow your knee at the altars and you say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins, at that moment, you become justified by faith and you receive the peace with God. Folks, there's nothing like having peace with God.
No.
When I lay my head down to sleep at night, I've got peace with God. I know I've been bought by the blood of Jesus, been washed, amen, cleansed. I've been purified, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled. I have peace with God.
Yes, hallelujah.
So peace with God's available. Then you have number two, the peace of God. You'll find that in Philippians chapter number 4, verse 7. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. What is the peace of God? Go with me to Acts chapter 12. This will be my last scripture. The peace of God. What is the peace of God? Acts chapter 12, verse 6 and 7 gives us a great definition of the peace of God. The Bible said in verse 6, and when Herod would have brought him forth, speaking of Peter, that same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came unto him, a light shined in the prison, and smote Peter on the side, and said, rise up, go quickly. And the chains fell from his hands. Now, early in this chapter, 12 verse 1 and 2, you'll find that James, who was the leader of the church of that day, was arrested and was beheaded by Herod. Then they arrested the next one, Peter. Peter is fixing to be beheaded. He is fixing to die. They throw him in the prison. He's bound by two chains. Going to die the next day. And he's sleeping. You tell me how in the world this man's sleeping, knowing I'm going to die tomorrow. I'd be, ah, God! Help me! Help me fast! Not Peter. He had the peace of God.
Uh-huh. Yes, he did.
He was so peaceful that when the angel came, he had to nudge him. Get up, Peter! Get up! Smote him in the rib! Get up! Buddy, that's sound asleep. Peter knew if I died, I'm going to heaven. Folks, I'm going to tell you tonight,
You can have the peace of God through your trials. You can have the peace of God through your storm. You can have the, you can be on trial and have the peace of God. I'm going to tell you tonight, that's that peace that he said, I'm leaving with you. It's the kind of peace you can be bound up between two soldiers and be fast asleep. Hallelujah. Oh, church, hear me. That's the kind of peace that surpasses all understanding.
I don't understand that kind of peace. That's the peace that passes all understanding.
Yeah.
Church, he said, I'm leaving. I'm leaving you my power. I'm leaving you my promise. And I'm leaving you my peace. Stand with me tonight. Father, thank you tonight.
Thank you.